The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
And right now, the only questions or calls that would be taken would be those involving Mr. Outdoors. Greg Roberts at rogueweather.com here with the Outdoor Report. How are you doing this morning, Greg? And what is on your mind as far as, sporty weather this potential weekend, huh? That kind of thing?
Well, I was kind of looking at a spicy weather.
Spicy, but, okay. Spicy, sporty.
Yeah,
all right.
Definitely tomorrow, it is definitely going to be that. And, you know, the fun part for me is the weather training and the background that I got when I was going through National Weather Service and then University of Oklahoma. It was focused for the kind of events that we're going to be seeing tomorrow. And what we're talking about here is, if people are not aware, there is potential for severe weather tomorrow here in the valley. And it basically starts here in Medford and then extends north all the way through the Willamette Valley. This is basically 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 8 p.m. in the evening, a six-hour time frame. We're talking about where severe weather is most likely to pop up. Tornadoes? No. We don't have that kind of situation. But what we do have is we've got a system pushing in with the jet accompanying. We're going to have a lot of wind shear that we don't typically see. And that wind shear is going to be from the lowest levels on up to the highest levels. We're going to get some turning with height. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll hear terms like hodographs being used. We do not have a steeper hockey stick hodograph signature like what we look for with tornadoes, but we definitely have curvature hodographs, which are indicative of and will support strong damaging winds, 60 miles an hour or more.
Wow.
And the potential for destructive hail, an inch in diameter and bigger. And both of those things right now, with where we're at locally, agriculturally, for fruit trees, for example, potential very high impact if one of these stronger, severe cells develops that it's packing both the wind and the hail and move in over orchard areas. A lot of potential to do a lot of damage. Same would be true for gardens. Same would be true for, you know, some of our smaller agriculture operations that grow squash, that grow, you know, various other types of vegetables. So tomorrow is about as high a risk of a day as you are going to see here in Southern Oregon. We have a 5% potential for both the damaging wind and for that really large destructive hail. But, it's kind of rare to see this. And, yeah, honestly, I'm kind of happy I get to use the training that is the core of my training that
sure
allows me to do a lot of what I do for you.
Well, come on, Greg. It's sure. Like, well, it's showtime, right? You know,
yeah,
it's showtime. It's kind of like if you were out there and here comes the tornado, you're out there in the van, right? You know,
exactly. Except I'm not going to be Reed Timmer and go driving out into these cores and getting my vehicle all busted up
yeah,
by hail.
I know. Yeah, I get that. Now, what about, though, the possibility for any rain that might be dampening fire activity in areas of, let's say, Northern California, or is it not really hitting that particular area?
It's not so much Northern California. The rain, you definitely pick up more rain signature the further north in the Cascades you go.
Okay.
It's basically from, I'm going to say, just north of Diamond Lake all the way up through the Central Cascades in Washington, the additional threat for tomorrow is the potential for flash flooding. And looking at the output, as you watch the model, some of these storms are going to be at least 3/4 of an inch to an inch an hour type situations.
Wow.
And they're going to be moving over a lot of the fires that produce a lot of that smoke that moves in here. So we're finally going to get some relief in that situation. But the problem is that amount of rain coming down within an hour, all of these current fires, the burn scars from the last 2 years, real high risk for debris and mud flows coming out of them. Portland National Weather Service has issued flash flood watches for the Cascades throughout their entire forecast zone, which goes from Lane County up into southwestern Washington. So they're definitely expecting a much bigger rain event potential up there in that area. And if you're going up to Portland, by the way, that will include the city of Portland. Portland is looking for basically every type of severe weather tomorrow except for tornadoes.
Wow. Now, what about the coast? Is the coast relatively calm or not?
No, the coast, you know, you're still, these storms are going to be sweeping in. So there is storm potential at the coast. We're not expecting severe weather because part of what is happening is the air dam effect that the Cascades create is actually going to help assist getting some of the spin rate going and the lapse rates going to produce the severe weather potential in western Oregon tomorrow. And that severe weather potential pretty much concentrated between the east slopes of the Coast Range and the west slopes of the Cascades.
Okay, very good. If you are going to go out and have a little fun this weekend, what do you think is probably the best bet as far as outdoor camping in various sort of activities? What do you think?
Well, there's the bummer. Because of the situation for tomorrow, camping could be pretty rough. Of course, obviously, you don't want to be in a boat on a lake with lightning going off. So my pick would actually be on Sunday. It is going to be the final day of summer operations up at Mount Ashland, and Sunday's going to be a markedly different day, be much better, and probably not going to have a whole lot of smoke in the air at all up here, because with the storms, with the wind, the motion in the atmosphere, I really expect a lot of the smoke will blow out. So head up to Mount Ashland, because if you don't know, they have an 18-hole frisbee golf course set up there. They do food service up there. They've got drinks available. Great place to go kick back and relax. I've got friends of mine that go up there and play the frisbee golf course pretty much every weekend. So honestly, yeah, that would probably be my single best pick spot for the weekend, will be Sunday up at Mount Ashland.
All right, very good. Talking with Mr. Outdoors here, Greg Roberts with the Outdoor Report from RogueWeather.com. By the way, I just want to mention, I've noticed that there's some people calling, and you know, we have a little auto answerer here. You have to have your caller ID available. It will dump you out if you don't. I noticed that someone keeps calling back, and it's called a troll prevention, so make sure you enable it. And then you can talk, okay? Let me get to the phones. People have questions for Greg or comments. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
It's Bob Hayworth.
Hey, Bob.
And Greg, back in the 50s, we learned to sing Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear. So last week you emphasized we're not supposed to say his middle name anymore. What happened to that?
Because it was kind of funny. They have maintained, the Forest Service, that is, that it's always been Smokey Bear, and yet somehow it became Smokey the Bear. And you're right. I found some archived older footage, TV commercials even. And yes, it was Smokey the Bear. And so don't feel bad if you remember it that way, because it was positioned that way. And now it's just
Smokey Bear. Yeah. For whatever reason.
So the song is gone.
I guess.
What?
I guess the song's gone, right? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, Bob. I know you'll have to sing. You could just do it this way: Smokey Bear, Smokey Bear. You know, you do it that way if you must. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Honestly, I think it's kind of a funny thing to have any kind of, quote unquote, debate about, because whether you call him Smokey Bear or Smokey the Bear, to me, honestly, that's just kind of splitting hairs. But yeah, Forest Service says officially Smokey Bear.
Yeah, I would just like to change his slogan these days. Remember, only you can prevent communism. Okay, but
yeah, you know, but like we were talking about last week, unfortunately, the whole core of his message has kind of helped create a situation here that, you know, everybody just and it became out of the fact that, you know, logging was so important for a long period of time, every fire was a bad fire, and that never was the case, and it's still not the case now. But unfortunately, the case was we spent decades and decades pursuing that policy, and then when you took away logging, it took a while, but eventually now we've swung to the other side of it, and when you don't have logging going on, when you don't have management going on, you wind up with these ridiculously overgrown forests, and when fire gets introduced, especially by lightning, it's going to do what it's programmed to do, only now we're seeing bigger, more severe fires, not so much because of climate change, but because we've just got ridiculously overgrown landscapes.
Well yeah, we have an amazing fuel load everywhere you look. Okay, let me go to line two. You're on with Greg. Good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
It's Roger.
Hey, Roger. What's up?
I'm just kind of curious, this front that's coming through, is it going to be helpful or affect our fires in central eastern Oregon? I've got a son fighting a falls fire right now. I'm just kind of curious if they're going to get in here.
That's kind of what we're waiting to see. We know there's going to be activity move in east of the Cascades, but, you know, it starts looking a lot more spotty over there. And so with these types of situations, you can have one area just absolutely get poured on, and then you can have another area within 5 miles or so that remains bone dry. That is what you get out of these very convective-type situations like we're looking at tomorrow. This is not that big, widespread aerial coverage, gentle soaking rain we would like to see. So, you know, what exactly we will have, you know, in terms of what fires wind up getting hit, if fires wind up getting hit at all by rain, we will see. One thing for sure, though, is two things will happen. Higher humidity will arrive. Cooler temperatures will arrive. Both of those things will help ramp down fire activity. And especially east of the Cascades, where you've got a lot of grass component, it will make a huge difference where there's a lot of grass component, where you still have the bigger timber. It doesn't do a whole lot to put those bigger fuels out that are consuming, but the smaller fuels, the overall intensity of the fire, a lot of good things can still happen, even if you don't happen to take a direct hit from one of those rain-producing cells.
All right, very good. Hey, Roger, hope things go well there for your son, all right? It is great talking with you, Greg, and you have yourself a wonderful weekend. And, you know, the other thing I was going to mention, though, is that you're talking about we're so excited that we might see a little bit of rain, some wetness in some spots. I was just looking at the weather from Milan, Ohio, where I graduated from high school back in 1979, because I'm going back there Labor Day weekend for the 45th high school reunion, class reunion. So I'm going to see, you know, people I haven't seen for 45 years, you know, essentially.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, I kind of forgot what the weather's like there. Okay, what do I have to do, right? And I'm looking at it, and it's like 3-4 days of 82 degrees and rain, 82 degrees rain, 83. I forgot. They actually get summertime rain, right?
Yeah, they do.
I've been out on the West so long, I kind of forgotten what summers were like there in the Pittsburgh and in Ohio, places like that. It's kind of funny to see rain all the time.
You know, my grandparents took me back to Ohio for 2 weeks in 1977, and that was kind of eye-opening from a weather point of view in a lot of different ways. If you didn't have the summer rain, which I definitely got to experience back there, the other thing that I thought was just crazy that I'd never seen here was humidity at high enough levels that even though the sun was out, you could be standing outside and you could literally see like mist,
yes,
especially in the mornings,
yep,
blowing around. And it was like really thin fog, but it just, that was the humidity in the air.
And that's, I remember experiencing some of that. And of course, I have to remember, I'm going back and it's going to be the Milan Melon Festival. Everything's about cantaloupes and watermelons and musk melons and things like that. Of course, you got to have a lot of water coming down if you're going to grow those crops, right?
You know, yeah? That's true. And so when we're typically dry here, July, August, early September, it can still get really wet back there, and that doesn't always necessarily come from thunderstorms. Like you said, they get true rain, and typically when you're seeing that rain in the summer back there, it's originating in and dropping down from Canada.
Yeah, and Lake Erie, it's the lake effect. Yep. We get the lake effect up there.
Right.
Lake Erie's 13 miles away, so that's the big, you know, the big deciding factor on whether or not if the wind's coming off the lakes, you're going to have plenty of moisture coming down. That's the just the way it works.
Because you've got those, let's call them what they are, those freshwater oceans of the Great Lakes that do a lot of what the Pacific Ocean does out here to help generate weather that we see happening here.
All right. Have a great weekend. Take it off, and we'll see you next Friday, all right?
You got it, Bill.
All right, rogueweather.com. Greg Roberts over at rogueweather.com and the Outdoor Report. Thanks, Rick. Thank you, Greg, rather. Thinking about Rick Manning. I don't know how that happened, okay? Sponsor of the Outdoor Report every Friday is Oregon Truck and Auto Authority on Airway Drive in Medford. 726. You're driving and you're paying too much on car insurance. All right. Well, I can help you with that. Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. Sky Park Insurance is an independent insurance agency, and he can help you get a better deal on car insurance like he did with me. Ended up rejiggering some of my coverage and ended up saving about $500-$600. It was kind of nice. I'll tell you, you know, $500-$600 a year, you save that, and you notice that in an inflationary time for sure. I know that they say, well, inflation has been cured now. We know better if you go shopping or if you've been looking. Well, used car prices went down, though, 11%. That's true. That's true. But that's how they're finagling out this low inflation number right now. Yeah, that gets thrown into the mix. But get a better deal on insurance or even just get coverage if you're having trouble. You know, home insurance, life insurance, business insurance, RV, it's all there. Talk to Steve Yancey at Sky Park. Deals with all the companies. Make that 261-5444, 261-5444. Get a quote. Put them to work for you. And many KMED and KBXG listeners have done really well. And maybe you could, too. Sky Park Insurance, skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
If you don't plan on cooking tonight, plan on dining at Freddy's Diner. Friday and Saturday nights, Freddy's features their hickory smoked prime rib. Plus, there's everyday favorites like New York steak, smoked beef brisket, Carolina chicken, pressure fried chicken, hand-dipped beer battered salmon or cod, and more. The menu is designed to please everyone in the family. Easy takeout, too. And stick around on Friday nights for karaoke at 9 p.m. Freddy's is a great place to meet friends or make some. Freddy's Diner in Old Town. Eagle Point.
Well, you know it's Orlist Tobin's Spas we both recommend.
Now I told you where, let us tell you why. You ought to stop and see our friend.
Hey, Lamont here. It's time to spring into summer with a new splash around pool from Orlist. Don't get caught high and dry this summer. Come into Orly's now and purchase your new pool before they are all gone. Splash Around pools are easy to assemble on most any level surface, and they can be assembled in about an hour with no tools required. Whether it's a spa, swim spa, or above ground pool, Orly's Stoves and Spas has something for everyone. Come in to ask us about our Orly's easy financing programs. And for those of you considering a wood or pellet stove for next season, come in to ask us about our current 30% tax credit on qualifying wood stoves, pellet stoves, and installation. Orly's Stoves and Spas at the corner of Delta Waters and Crater Lake Highway. Or find us online at Orly's.com or at 541-779-5340.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
He co-sponsored this Medicare for All bill, universal health care bill, with Bernie Sanders in the U.S. Senate. And now her campaign says we don't know because she doesn't talk to anybody. And now they're saying, well, no, she doesn't support that anymore. He also called for an elimination of all private health insurance. Wow. We know that she has been bragging about Bidenomics. We know she lied about inflation, and it's only transitory. He was praising Bidenomics up until recently. I played that on TV last night. We played it on this radio show. Her own words and Tim Walz's own words are devastating to them if the American people only know about it. And this is now becoming a big problem.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, protect your home and family. Now, it's a responsibility you cannot take lightly. But starting with deadly force, that should not be your first option, especially given the serious mental, financial, legal consequences that can very well follow. You might want to look at non-lethal force. That's where Burner comes in. It's a non-lethal pistol launcher designed by a group of common-sense gun owners, and it's used for everyday Americans concerned about their personal safety and security. Now, the Burner pistol launcher is equipped with powerful deterrents like tear gas and kinetic rounds, so the Burner launcher can incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes. Now, that's enough time to ensure your family's safety. The Burner launcher is legal in all 50 states. You can ship directly to your door. It's time to join the growing movement. And they always put safety first. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity. You'll get 10% off. Watch their videos, byrna.com/Hannity, 10% off. And make the smart choice for you and your family and your safety today.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now. 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
I want to give a dad joke of the day. There's been so much serious news. We were talking about the Trump campaign, how they need to get things in gear, in my opinion. And Rick was kind of with me, you know, on that one, because it's so serious. But we need a dad joke now. Kathleen sent this one in overnight and said, "Hey, Bill, how does a farmer find a wife? Attract her." Okay. You made me laugh on that, Kathleen. I appreciate it. Yeah, I know. You've grown a little bit. But that's the fun of a dad joke. Dad jokes of the day, by the way, are sponsored by Two Dogs Fabricating on Bryan Way off Sage Road in Medford. And if you think you have a better dad joke than what Kathleen sent in, just go to twodogsfab.com, email it to them. Maybe you'll hear it here. But they have the 2024 model year-end closeout on all Iron Bull trailers in stock has been extended. $750 rebate on dump trailers 12 to 16 foot or a $500 instant rebate on the Iron Bull 16 to 24. All right? Time is now while they last over at Two Dogs Fabricating, okay? Got Matt. Hey, Matt, you wanted to talk about the inflation. You wanted to put some meat on the bone on what inflation, how it has really attacked people and really just crushed them or at least stolen from many people's future, right? That's something you wanted to focus on. You were talking about that a bit yesterday. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. So here's what I did. I found a website. It's based on Kay Schiller's analysis of the S&P 500. So I just went out looking for articles, first of all, to try to figure out, you know, how much money people have had to spend in excess of what they were spending for all of their basic necessities. And I saw numbers as high as $11,400 per year. So what I did is I took my $300 number that I used on air, and if you had invested $300 a month instead of spending it on inflation, at the end of that 41-month period from January 2021 through May of 2024, that money could have grown to, now this is including the contribution, but $16,213. So not only would you have all of that money back, right, when you include that money plus the money you could make on it, it would grow to $16,000. Then on the higher side, I took a $900 per month contribution because some people are spending that much. That grew to $48,641.
Boy, look at the wealth look at the wealth that inflation vacuums out of the middle class. Look at that.
Yeah. If you owned a house and during that same period, if you owned a house, let's say you spent $450,000 for it and it grew by $48,000, wouldn't you be thrilled?
Oh, sure. I suppose.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it includes, you know, the $900 a month, but when that money gets added every month and then, you know, you get the return of the S&P, and there were plenty of down months there in 2022 rather. So then I just took 600. I just split it and said, what would that look like? $32,427. So literally, since the money did have to be spent to live, the total cost, when you consider having invested that money in an IRA, is $32,427 if you're spending an extra $600 a month.
And it's not unusual for someone to have to spend $500-$600 extra a month to have just kept their head above water where they had been, right? It's not about growing anything, just keeping their head above water.
Yeah, I found a ton of articles. And I just have to end it with this. I just pulled the dad joke to my daughter. We have horses and stuff. She's a cowgirl. She liked the joke. So I thought the dad joke was great. A tractor. We're big fans of that silly show, Farmer Wants a Wife.
Yeah.
That is a great joke to end the week on.
Okay. Hey, glad to do it. Hey, Matt, I always appreciate that, okay? Thanks so much.
All right, Bill. Take care.
All right. It's 7:35. Kevin Starrett's going to be standing by here in just a moment. We're going to talk a bit more about a hearing on a firearms lawsuit. We'll get you the latest on that coming up here. Speaking of inflation, what is Mr. Inflation saying to the price of Mr. Gold? Let's see, gold at $24.81. Boy, just a few bucks under 25. I'm looking at the chart, and it's continuing to do the little seesaw higher. You know, higher lows, higher highs. Is it going to keep going? I don't know. But the one way we can kind of look at this is just, it's some just in case in the midst of all this. Yeah, sure, you want to have it in the stock market or real estate or something like that. Make sure that you have some in wealth preservation too. And that's what gold and silver have done for thousands of years. And it's about diversification too. And you do this through the great local sponsor that we have here. It's Jay Austin and Company, Gold and Silver Buyers at 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Yeah, not only do they have a little great sing-along ad, but I'm just telling you about the you know, the beauty, the facts-based beauty of preserving some of your wealth in your possession, not necessarily in paper promises or in electronic promises, you know, online and various other things. So have some of this too. Talk to Jay Austin, or maybe you're looking at almost $2,500 gold and saying, hey, I bought it at $5. I'd like to sell some and take some profits and pay off some bills or have some fun. You can do that too. But these are the people you deal with, the recognized experts. Call 482-3715. Jay Austin, Gold and Silver Buyers in Ashland and Grants Pass. JayAustinBrokers.com, FortuneReserve.com online. News is sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MillettConstruction.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Kamala Harris may be ready to talk policy. She'll outline her economic program during a visit to North Carolina today. Reports that she'll propose food and grocery price controls. Former President Trump says that would only result in shortages, rationing, and ultimately more hunger. It's been said that Harris is trying to distance herself from President Biden, but that wasn't the case yesterday. Harris joined Mr. Biden, touting the results of Medicare drug price negotiations. Hurricane Ernesto continues to barrel toward Bermuda, where hurricane warnings have been posted. The hurricane's winds have been clocked at around 100 miles per hour. Flights and trains in the Tokyo area canceled, and people are being warned of strong winds, heavy rains, and potential flooding, as well as mudslides, as a typhoon nears Japan. The Dow down 66 points. More details at srnnews.com.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main Street in Phoenix.
Hi, it's Jolene with Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. We've got summer savings on quality Continental tires. Through August, get a $110 Visa prepaid card in the mail when you purchase a set of qualifying tires for your truck, SUV, or van. And there's 16 different popular styles to choose from, including Cross Contact, 4x4 Contact, Terrain Contact, and Premium Contact. Continental is one of our most recommended tire brands. So if you need a set for your truck, SUV, or van, come see us at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros in Phoenix.
Millett Construction has been a general contractor for 40 years. For the last 20 years, they've specialized in foundation repair and replacement. If you have sloping floors, cracks in walls, and windows and doors that are hard to open, you have a foundation problem that's only getting worse. At Millett Construction, they not only fix your foundation and level your house, they solve the water problem that's causing the damage. Get on solid ground. Call Millett Construction for a free estimate. Visit MillettConstruction.com. CCB number 32787.
One of each, Forte VIN 807033, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 920929, MSRP 21740, 3699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 9224.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS. for a new 2024 Kia Soul LX. Just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls. Just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Good morning. This is News Talk 106.3 KMED. And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
20 before 8, Kevin Starrett rejoins the program. Oregon Firearms Federation. OregonFirearms.org. See, how did the Republicans describe you a few years ago? You know, after they took money from you, they were happy to take money from you, and then they bagged on you because I guess you just don't always, you're just not a lickspittle to the caucuses, right? Isn't that right? Yeah, kind of the way it works, Kevin?
Well, I think, I don't know that, I haven't been attacked personally since Kevin Mannix did it on the House floor like 20-something years ago. Touting his bipartisan, how he's working across the aisle. But no, they said that Oregon Firearms...
Nothing makes me happier than hearing Republicans talking about how they'll reach across the aisle to people who basically want to destroy us. I think it's great to work with people that will destroy you. That's great.
Mannix was a Democrat, always will be a Democrat, doesn't matter what he calls himself. But we were a fringe organization who should not be allowed in the building, which, of course, they've effectively done now by banning anybody who believes in self-defense. But, hey, I want to give you thank you very much for this opportunity to spread dangerous misinformation.
Oh, well, see, that's my job. That's my job. And yeah. anyone that is called, what was that, an extremist group or what?
A fringe organization. There was some other things. What did Drazen call us? I can't remember. I mean, we've been called a fringe organization so many times. The comical thing is that, like, in Vicki Iverson's case, from whom I received a hysterical, hilarious email yesterday, they called us a fringe organization and said, don't answer our surveys. And soon after that, sent me a letter asking me for a donation.
Okay. All right. So you just get trashed and then please send money. All right.
They never returned the checks, Bill, you know?
Okay. Well, yeah, I know. Okay. Yeah, you know, I thought that I had a red light above my door. You know, mine says on air. Yeah. All right, Roxanne, you don't have to leave on the red light. Anyway, let's move along here because we have an update here on the apparently the Republicans are now sending checks, or some checks are coming in now for the House Bill 2005 battle. Or what's the latest here? I wanted to catch up with that.
There are no checks coming in. In the hilarious email I got yesterday from Vicki Iverson, who was the person who said, we've collected $25,000 for litigation against House Bill 2005, the bill we just passed, making criminals out of thousands of Oregonians. Of course, that whole offer just disappeared. So once we started the litigation along with Firearms Policy Coalition, who took the lead on this, FPC absolutely did. To them, they get a lot of credit.
Yeah.
I sent a note to my close personal friend Vicki saying, hey, you know, where's the $25K you guys promised us, which has disappeared down the memory hole?
Yeah, that was in the fake check that was put all over social media after they didn't deny quorum and the bill passed, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So yesterday I get this email from her. And first of all, she said I do not like the way you run your organization or the manner in which you go about fundraising. I will not be contributing to your organization because of that, but I will support the lawsuit. We are going to have to close our doors, of course, now because we rely so heavily on the massive generous donations from Vicki Iverson, of which there have been, let me see, zero.
Well, people, you know, a lot of people may not understand what's wrong here in Republican politics. And it's not just Republican because there's the Democrat caucus, too. But the caucuses are all about what's in the best interest of the caucuses, which is why, tampons in the boys' room bills get passed, even though they'll claim that they didn't get passed. You know, it's all about, reaching across the aisle and we're going to get along and cut a deal so that you get a new fire hydrant in your district or whatever the case might is. Right. This is what we're dealing with. They don't like people like you who call them out and say, hey, you're not really being conservatives. And then
no. And I don't think this is the, what is being done here is even in the best interest of the caucus. It's in the best interest of the Iversons. The Iversons' reason for existing is to cash in, and I mean it's comical the lengths that they'll go to do this. But Iverson has now claimed that she sent $1,000 to Firearms Policy Coalition, which is fine with me. I mean, that's a great thing. They haven't received any checks. That doesn't mean they won't, but they haven't. But then this hilarious email she sent me yesterday saying that, you know, I'm going to send them $1,000 and it's not my fault because the caucus has changed and all this other crap was followed up by an equally hilarious email because she had CC'd this to a number of other people, including Court Boyce. And he followed up with a response to her email, which, of course, was, I guess, to her, but I'm CC'd on it, telling her what a great email it was, and then saying to me, I'm going to send you $500, but then I'm going to hold off on the other $500. Not really sure what any of this means. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're not counting on any money from the Republican House caucus, whose main goal is to tank what's left of Oregon and enrich the Iversons.
Other than that, things are fine. All right. So,
yeah, things are going well.
Yeah. Okay. I've gotten to the point where, unfortunately, I get to the point where I just start writing off the state legislature, you know, as a influenceable. Well, I guess I could be influenceable if I had big checks
you'd be influenceable if you're pushing Democrat policies, which is what the Republicans in the House are doing. I mean, Mannix just said it, you know, latest email yesterday, I'm helping to push Democratic policies. Drazen is back in the mix, and now she is famous for pushing Democrat policies like neutering the police, banning ropes, protecting Antifa members, pushing tampons in the boys' bathrooms in kindergarten, which, of course, she lied about, which they all do all the time. So that's what their motivation is. But as far as influencing them, yeah, having a lot of money will help, but only if you're spending money to push the policies that are destroying the state.
Yeah, if I wanted to donate money to say, hey, you know, you have 10 unexcused absences that you can do to really block some bad legislation, maybe you should use them, right? You know, that kind of thing.
Well yeah, exactly. But but of course, you're right that we're getting to the point where the legislature, as far as people who theoretically are supposed to represent our values, has become pretty meaningless because they don't. And it's very difficult to imagine turning this around in any reasonable time frame, which is why, unfortunately, we're stuck in court again. And I, as I said before, I don't like being there. You know, we had the hearing yesterday on a restraining order. I don't know if it's actually a restraining order or injunction against 2005.
Okay. Oh, so this had nothing to do with the federal lawsuit on 114, right? I just want to be sure.
No. This is the other lawsuit.
Oh,
so
okay.
House Bill 2005 now makes it illegal to be in possession of a firearm you made yourself.
And it's almost next. It's like impossible to be able to take one that you've owned all these years and make it legal under the way House Bill 2005 was written, right?
Well, it's impossible legally. It's almost impossible legally, and it might be impossible practically. But the problem is that they're demanding that if you own what you've made perfectly legally, which Americans have been doing for hundreds of years, it's a federally lawful thing to do. If you made your own firearm, you have to have a serial number affixed according to federal regulations. Now, it's entirely unclear exactly how that's done. But the problem is that having the thing to begin with is illegal. The simple fact that you have it in your possession is illegal.
Is the crime. That's the crime under HB 2005. Okay.
Right. And as soon as September 1st rolls around, when the criminal penalties kick in, like, and I know of nobody who's actually doing this. There may be dealers who are affixing serial numbers, although it's entirely unclear to whom these have to be reported, who the manufacturers considered any of these questions. And unfortunately, we get questions all the time saying, how do I comply? And I'm having to respond all the time saying, you know, we really have no idea. But after September 1st, when the penalties kick in, if you have the thing, you're already in violation of the law. So how do you then go to the bill says a dealer can take it and put a serial number on it, but it doesn't say that you can bring it to them. It doesn't say that you can own it. And of course, if you try to manufacture one anytime in the future, you can't manufacture it and then go put a serial number on it, because the instant you have not even manufactured a functioning firearm, but just once you've been in possession of a piece of plastic or metal that they say could one day become a firearm. If it hasn't gotten this approved serial number placed on it by the approved people, you can't do it yourself. You're already in violation of the law. So if you've already made these, you're in violation of the law. If you try to make one or try to bring one into the state, you're in violation of the law.
Yeah, okay. The bottom line, though, heads you lose, tails they win, no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
The way the law is written, which of course is why it never should have been passed in the first place, and had the Republicans walked out and just denied them quorum at the end, it would have been gone. Okay. So this is where we find ourselves. This is the fight. Okay.
Yeah, it would have been a perfectly reasonable thing to do. You know, for the House Republicans came out on the Capitol steps with big fake checks saying, this law is clearly unconstitutional, and we're going to contribute $25,000 to litigation against it, which, of course, was crap.
Yeah, well, the best lawsuit is the one you don't have to fight, though. It's kind of like a gunfight. Same thing. The best gunfight's the one you avoid.
Mm-hmm. If you're sitting in the legislature and the Democrats are passing a law which not only will entrap, criminalize, and severely damage many good Oregonians.
Yeah, in other words, hurting the people, hurting your friends. And see, this is something I want people to focus on, is that it's not just about hurting your enemies, but these people are hurting your friends. Right, the people who are supposedly helping get you in office, your constituency of firearms owners in Oregon, right? You got to think about it that way.
Well, exactly. So you've just said, we know this bill is unconstitutional, but you don't stop it. I mean, a bill that is going to do serious damage to good people in the state, they don't stop it when they could at no cost to themselves. So now we're in court yesterday, and
having to spend thousands of dollars, I would dare say, this is what goes on, tens of thousands of these suits.
I can't even imagine what the final bills on this one are going to be. But in court, the state's position is you can have a gun. There's a bunch of factors here, but the state's saying you can't have a gun without a serial number on it because they're dangerous and unusual. When in fact they're exact copies of firearms that everyone agrees, or most people agree, are protected. They're claiming that what makes them dangerous is that criminals use them. When in fact, in the overwhelming number of cases where guns have been found at crime scenes with those serial numbers, they're not guns that people have manufactured themselves. They're guns that people have obliterated the serial numbers that the manufacturers put on them. So that's crap to begin with. But the whole idea that somehow these firearms, which are functionally and visually identical to guns that you can buy in any store, are somehow dangerous. Of course, all firearms are dangerous. And as for whether or not they're unusual, well, who knows how unusual they are, since there really isn't supposed to be a record of these things. On top of that, the Supreme Court has made it very clear what rules can be applied to determining whether or not an anti-gun law is constitutional or not. And in this case, basically, the Supreme Court said, look, if there's not a really long-standing tradition of this kind of regulation, meaning serial numbers, which we didn't have at all until 1968, then you can't impose this. And the states come in and say, well, wait a minute. We've had serial numbers since 1968, which is absurd, makes no sense. And, of course, the judge in this case, whose name escapes me at the moment, but who's a Kate Brown appointee, the Oregon Supreme Court, who now has been moved up to federal court by Joe Biden.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure she's very open to reason and constitutional law. I'm sure she's probably big on this.
She didn't ask a single question.
What? No, wait a minute. You guys show up there with all this evidence. Not one question from the judge?
Not
really?
Not one question to either party.
Huh.
Now, I don't know what to make of that. Obviously, you know, who appoints a judge? You think that's a clue, but Karen Emmergut, the judge in our 114 case, who's completely violated every rule that the Supreme Court put down, was a Trump appointee. So it's really hard to say. I mean, we're there hoping for the best, expecting the worst. But none of this would be necessary. None of this would be necessary if the Republicans were not a bunch of in-the-tank grifting cowards who have sold out the people who put them in office for whatever little, you know, groveling, you know, crumbs that get thrown to them by their Democratic overlords, to whom they're constantly, you know, crawling up and saying, thank you, sir, may I please have another? I mean, it's absolutely disgraceful. And unfortunately, I don't see this moving forward as long as the Republican caucuses are in the tank and the Republican Party accepts this. I mean, look recently that
Well, look at the battle that we had here in Southern Oregon when the caucus wanted essentially rhinos put in certain places, the Noah Robinson position, and Dennis Linthicum, the Diane Linthicum seat that she's most likely won now. The battles that we were having over that, these are those battles that we're talking about. Those are the differences that we're spotlighting.
Let's not forget that it was the Iversons who put together the attacks on Noah. The Iversons, outrageous, disgraceful attacks on Noah. The Iversons who put together that clown show, Oregon Gun Rights, which people used to get endorsements from, which didn't even exist as anything except a crappy web page, which misquoted the Second Amendment, until after they gave out endorsements. Then they formed a PAC of which the only donation was from themselves. So this is, these are the people who are no longer going to send me the donations, which they've never sent in the past, but who are responsible for why now we have to have this other fight, which we never would have had if they had once done their job.
And this is why as far as the political battle goes, it's the need for more Diane Linthicums and more Noah Robinsons and fewer of the, and I suppose, the thing is, though, is that the people that you've been talking about, though, are pretty big. They're pretty big wheels within the system right now.
They absolutely.
But they're not. But they're not really fighting for their constituents the way I would like them.
No, they're fighting for their paychecks. I mean, look, Iverson's husband is a political consultant who's made millions of dollars doing the consulting for the kind of candidates that she has recruited. Now, Jeff Helfrich is supposedly the House Republican leader, so it's not my problem. I didn't make that promise. And by the way, get my Jingle Jeff sweatshirt. They're on sale now because they were a Christmas present.
Hey, right? That Jingle Jeff sweatshirt during the Christmas time was actually rather cute. You have to admit, that was stylish. That was stylish.
Well, I think it's on the bargain rack now.
Okay.
But listen, and actually, when you think about it, if we had four or five Dwayne Yonkers in the House, we wouldn't even have to have a majority, but just three or four people who were standing up, or Noah Robinsons, or Diane Linthicums. We actually had a few of them in the Senate. Of course, they all got trashed. But I don't think that means that we're going to turn around the horrible direction of the state of Oregon. But I think it could actually start to influence the direction of what is comically called leadership there. I mean, Tim Knope, who led the Senate to an absolute disaster, whose son Reagan Knope started this fake group, Oregon Gun Rights. I sent you pictures of him posing with Moms Demand Action people.
Yeah, Moms Demand Action people are the gun control, the gun grabber types in Oregon.
Yeah, so he posed for pictures with them saying how brave they are. Look, these people are not our friends. They just aren't. And if we continue to put in people like, okay, so now Drazen's back in the mix. She beat James Heap, who the caucus treated disgracefully, a sitting Republican House rep who the caucus crapped all over, had meetings with Drazen in caucus meetings before she was even in the caucus, with the theme being, let's protect our incumbents. Well, they were screwing Heap, who was the incumbent.
But he was the wrong kind of incumbent. And this is the house cleaning. This is what, we have to recognize this and probably not going to be able to do anything about this in the near future. But understand what you're dealing with. We have to understand as voters what we're dealing with here. And it turns you a little bit cynical, but, it's just the reality. And so we fight the battles we can win at this point. And these people need to be gone. And these are the people that think that the way to be elected as a Republican is to act like a Democrat. And I just can't do it anymore, Kevin. I know you can't either. And a lot of listeners can't either. And I know that. They're tired of it.
I mean, if you run as a Republican and you get elected, and especially if you claim to be a conservative and you get elected, then why you think you have to govern as a Democrat makes no sense to me. I mean, look at Lori Chavez de Remer, right? She ran as the Republican alternative. Now, she's not a conservative. She worked for Planned Parenthood. She has done everything she can after getting elected to enact the Biden agenda, as has Cliff Benz. They get elected as Republicans. My assumption is that the people who voted for them thinking they were going to promote Republican or supposedly Republican conservative ideals. And now all they do is push Democratic ideas because they think That's how you get elected. But that's not how they got elected. So it makes absolutely no sense to me. And, you know, I think it all comes down to what the consultants are putting in their ears, saying, oh, we did this survey, you have to do this or that.
Yeah.
And there's no authenticity. There's nobody standing up. I mean, there's how many Thomas Masseys are there in Congress? You know, there's lots of Chavez Dreamers. There's lots of Cliff Benzes. There's a lot of people who don't ever want to take a stand because they're way more interested in being liked than they are in protecting what's left of the rights of their constituents.
Well, in this current world that we have right now, in which reaching across to the aisle to people who wish to destroy you is just going to get you destroyed or get you dirtier, you really have to be ready to not be liked if you're going to be doing the right thing right now. And that's unfortunately just the way it is. And it's hard. It really is hard. I understand. It is really hard to go out there and do things which will make you unliked by certain people in power. I get that. I really do.
It is. It is. But, you know, I mean, that's why you took the job. And, you know, I mean, can you remember ever seeing any communication from a Democrat proudly saying they reached across the aisle?
Never.
I can't. You know, it's just the obsequious, pandering little sycophants like Drazen, like Manick, like all these people who are like, look at what I've done. I've gone to the people who are slapping us around. I begged for mercy, and I signed on to their bills. And, look at that. Those bills got passed. What a surprise.
Yeah, that's not exactly what you would call an accomplishment. But like I said, Stockholm syndrome, whatever you want to call it, or just craven political opportunism. It could be a little bit of all of this, but we must be discerning in our votes one way or the other. Okay, Kevin? Hey, I got to go, but I appreciate the update. It just astounds me, though, that a judge would have this big case that you brought forward here along with firearms policy coalition, and then not one question. Of course, that makes me wonder if there's a predetermined outcome.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. We'll be back with you, though, at OregonFirearms.org. And stay frosty as always, Kevin. You're a very frosty man, okay? Take care.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay. Kevin Starrett, once again, you know, extremist group, OregonFirearms.org. And I only talk with extremist groups because that's just me. It's a couple minutes after 8. KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, and KBXG Grants Pass.